Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Ross, in for Lucius today. It is the G-Back Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. And coming up at 4 o'clock, it'll be a hodgepodge. Right now, Brian Broaddus takes center stage here with Krusty's Corner.
Thank you very much, General. Appreciate that.
Thank you.
Which do you think of the two playoff teams in the NFC bothers Jerry Jones the most of getting into the championship game?
Well, I would think Washington.
Yeah, Washington. Yeah, like you just had your... who was his friend, have to sell the team in Dan Snyder. And year one, boom, here you are. You got yourself a quarterback, you're in the conference championship game. He's seen the Eagles do it a lot. I mean, this is what, their eighth appearance here?
Sure.
You got Cowboys coaches and players all over the roster, and in 1 year, they go from being NFL sewage to four quarters from the Super Bowl. That has to... I mean, both of them hurt. Looking at the Eagles and see how they paid their quarterback and also built one hell of a roster,
yeah,
is also probably a little eye-opening, or you would hope it would be.
I think they're built to win the conference. I know I've said that before.
The Eagles?
The Eagles are. I think Dallas is built to win the division. I don't think... I think the Philadelphia Eagles are built to win the conference.
I think Jerry's got a lot of denial in him about how bad he sucks at his job of managing the Cowboys. Mm-hmm. I think he's one of the greatest owners in the history of sports, maybe the single greatest. But when it comes to general managing and, you know, being in charge of football stuff, you know, Daniel Snyder was maybe the only owner in the NFL, well, maybe Woody Johnson, but one of the few owners in the NFL doing it worse. You know, in the back of Jerry's mind, you got to be thinking.
Mm-hmm.
These critics, you know, they're probably wrong, but man, there's... And then Snyder sells the team, new guy comes on board, sets a totally different direction, and instantly you win. I mean, in the back of your mind, you got to be thinking, maybe if I left, the Cowboys would get right back to the top, just like happened to George Steinbrenner twice in his Yankee ownership.
You feel like that he is... that Jerry, and again, we're just thinking, we're putting ourselves into Jerry's brain here. But do you think Jerry's thinking of this, though, and like, instead of the ownership change, it's the quarterback change? That Daniels is the reason why they're in the NFC Championship game. Is that his justification?
Probably.
Yeah, because he doesn't want to justify, well, gosh, if I were to sell the team, what would they do as soon as I was no longer here running things? Like, you don't want that to ever enter your brain. Like, would they be better off without me? No. So, yeah, if I had Jaden Daniels, we'd be in the NFC Championship game.
Do you feel like this team would have a chance if he came out and said, listen, I'm still going to own the team, but Will McClay is running the team? Do you feel like there would be enough of a change to potentially get your team into the NFC Championship game?
I do. You know, I think so much of it is a winning culture. And, you know, I think the way that he involves himself with the media so consistently eats away at the authority of the coach. You know, I don't know how many personnel decisions that Jerry Jones is responsible for that have held this team back. You know, I think it's much more a culture of winning, and the focus has to be on those Sundays. And as much as, you know, Jerry could talk about the quarterback, sure, And you know, that's a big part of it, but that comes down to the decision making of the organization. He probably looks at it as Daniels luck, and then the fact that Washington drafted so horribly. So as Jaden Daniels arrives, you have a pretty clean salary cap situation. You could go out there and do some shopping in free agency. So, you know, it's complicated as all denial is.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Just wonder if that's the case, if he feels like that if he were to completely step away and Steven were to completely step away and they name somebody independently as the general manager, would the team be different?
Yeah, you definitely have a chance to, because that guy would be prioritizing winning and he would be a real football guy in the chair. Yeah. And so I think that would be the first step to this thing getting back on the right track. But that is as far-fetched as anything that we've ever conjured up.
I also wonder, like, how different would the hiring process be? Like, I don't believe Jason Witten's name would be anywhere in this conversation if you remove Jerry and Steven from it.
Sure.
Is Kellen Moore's name in the conversation, right? I mean, I wonder, I think Will McClay would have a much more intriguing in, like, okay, these guys actually could come in and make a difference as a head coach instead of kind of, here we go. We're bringing back a lot of guys we know, we're comfortable with. It's going to make the quarterback happy, maybe, and let's ride. And maybe it's all bridged to get to Jason Witten. I don't know. But I think Will McClay probably, I'd love to see what his interview list would look like.
I would, too. Do you think that, I know I'm talking about this a lot, but do you feel like, though, that the Cowboys, that the teams, the Final Four teams have made generational moves to get them? And I mean generational, like Kansas City's generational move was the hiring of Andy Reid and the drafting of Pat Mahomes. Do you think with Philadelphia, it's, you know, with Howie Roseman as their general manager? You know, do you think it's with the Commanders? We've talked about the Commanders. You know, with Buffalo, is it their generational move was drafting
Josh Allen?
Josh Allen?
Yeah,
does it take you making a generational move to get you into this group that we're talking about? And is Dallas even capable of that?
Yeah, I mean, it's you got to find a generational type of head coach or quarterback. And the three of the four all have the quarterback. Jalen Hurts might be the question in Philly. There's still a lot of Eagle fans that feel like the roster's so damn good around him that sometimes they win in spite of him. That's Howie Roseman being arguably the best general manager in the sport,
right,
and building a tremendous team around him. But then Nick Sirianni, as much as we want to criticize him, and I think a lot of it's fair, and it might just be unfair because he's got the most punchable face arguably in sports, but 52 wins in his first four seasons is the most among any coach in NFL history. So the dude wins football games as a head coach. Ultimately, that's what you're kind of looking for. That's your job description.
I mean, you got to do something the best, and nobody's going to say Dan Quinn or Cliff Kingsbury are the best at their job, but you've got a quarterback that can, you know, really make it happen. I think there's some luck involved there, significant luck with Washington. I mean, their defense was so vulnerable to not take better advantage of it, to turn the ball over three times from the Lions' perspective, you know. But that goes to not having as good of a quarterback. As the pressure gets dialed up, you know, a guy like Jared Goff, if there's any opportunity to screw it up, I think he'll find it, you know. The best quarterbacks won, other than Stafford and Hurts, and you could say that's about a tie, and the Rams, you know, roster was pretty weak.
Can I just like push a question back at you here?
Sure.
Is there anything, and this could be a terrible thought, but as Jerry gets older and he's always talked a big game about, I'll write this check, X check.
Sure.
The coaching shouldn't be an issue. Like, you should not be worried ever about being outbid for a head coach. But as he gets older and you naturally think about, okay, what am I leaving for my family? You start to be a little bit more of a penny pincher. Like, you're now a little more frugal than you ever were. I am counting my dollars a little bit more. Like, what do I have to leave to my children and my grandchildren and my great-grandchildren? Because there seems to be a little bit of a stubbornness here that maybe was never a narrative, but certainly has to be a narrative now about how much are you willing to spend on some of the things you can spend a lot of money on.
I just wonder if that's more Stephen Jones.
Yeah.
I wonder if that's more Stephen than it is anything.
He's always been a lot more budget conscious.
He has always been that way. And I, to me, you know, in working with both of them, and I worked when we were spending money in free agency, and hell, I was with Parcells when he was even spending money on players that couldn't play in free agency. But I just wonder if it's a thing where Stephen Jones has become this draft and develop guy.
Absolutely.
I think that's Stephen has told the Jones family, like, listen, this is the way we can operate.
Yeah.
We can win. You know, we can win by doing draft and development stuff. We don't have to go out and spend $9 million on Marco Rivera and others that never played. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So I think this is more about Stephen feeling that way than it is Jerry.
When it comes to writing the checks, I would not be surprised, you know, because that would be consistent with how things have gone. And I think Jerry's much more willing to gamble. I'll have faith when Stephen takes over, because Stephen isn't going to be, you know, constantly creating distractions for the head coach. I don't think Stephen wants to be so in control and have such a position of importance and prominence when it comes to the day-to-day decision-making. And I think it'll be easier to build a good winning culture when Stephen is officially the boss.
See, I totally agree with you, because I feel like that he will take more of a step back. And I think then, whether it's Will McClay or somebody else in that chair,
yeah,
I think Stephen really does respect scouting.
Yes.
But I don't think he respects like free agency.
No,
how it could work to his advantage.
And I'll tell you another thing that I would add for a major problem for Stephen is he pays his own guys too often.
See, that's...
You pay guys that are above average, like they're top-of-the-market players. You do that just a couple of times, you know, not understanding the mistake you were making with Zeke's contract at that point in his career, the Tony Pollard franchise tag, the Jalen Smith contract. We don't talk about that one enough. Yeah. Like, they draft these guys and they build a little bit of brand around them, and then they give them way too much money when you should just take that money and give it to a player off the street. They're actually good once you get them looking at the tier three free agents.
Yeah.
They can find with their pro scouts some guys that can really come in here and help.
They've done an excellent job when it comes to the rookies, the undrafted rookie free agents coming in and getting some mileage out of them. And then Carl Lawson's an example this year, like finding guys off the street that end up.
Now they've had their Don Terry Pose here recently.
They have.
They caught a good run this year.
It's hit or miss. But I guess to me, it's more of the coaching thing. It's like there's no salary cap for coaches. in no world, if Robert Saleh is weighing, like, should I go to San Francisco or should I come to Dallas? Like, you shouldn't ever worry, are the Cowboys going to write the check to that guy? And you have to, as a Cowboy fan, worry about that. You should never be outbid for a coach.
Yeah.
You shouldn't feel like that.
But it's also Romo and Dak, don't you think? Like, if
you don't have a good enough quarterback,
if
right
you're
now.
Not good enough, the next best thing isn't paying him and hoping he's good enough. It's moving on to a rookie salary scale guy, and hopefully he's a Hall of Famer that when you pay him market setting money can still, you know, be a difference maker in January.
Yeah, I just, like I said, I'm sorry. I was going to bring up some stuff about these games, but I appreciate you guys saying real quick before we finish this out. Can I ask one more thing?
Sure.
Mike Bacsik was talking about, he was comparing all the running backs in this current, in the playoffs, and he was trying to talk about Zeke. He mentioned, did Zeke party himself out of being one of the best running backs that could have been one of these guys that we've seen currently? Do you agree with what he's saying?
Absolutely. You know, I think when you party like that and you're already built a little bit heavier, there's wear and tear on you. Obviously, he had a lot of carries from Ohio State through his first three years with the Cowboys on top of it. But, you know, other guys can survive it better. I always think of Mike Napoli, the great Ranger favorite, and he would openly tell people, there's no way I'm going to play into my mid-30s. And that's baseball. He said, I party too hard.
Yeah.
You know, it's poison for your body. And, you know, you're excelling in spite of it. Yeah, and you have the perfect picture of Derrick Henry being drafted in the same draft and still getting it done at a high level.
That's what I'm saying. Mike was trying to talk about the backs, the Barclays and others that are here.
Joe Mixon still getting it done.
Yeah. The guys that make it a long time are usually dialed in, shirt tucked in, yes sir, no sir kind of guys. You know, and we had, you know, the Greenville Parade guy.
Yeah.
Flashing the audience, you know, living it up, getting in fights with security guards. I mean, there was a lot of stuff playing out behind the scenes that, you know, painted a picture that Zeke wasn't taking care of his body. And on top of all the carries that he got, it was way too much.
Yeah.
But I think the biggest mistake in there wasn't to draft him, but it was to pay him after you've seen him in your building and knew his song and dance, betting on him being great at 26, 27, 28.
Well, I think Mike brought up a really good point that Jerry Jones sees himself in Zeke because he's got that partying mentality and stuff like that. So
I think that's interesting.
I thought that was a really good point.
Sports Hodgepodge coming up next. Thank you, Brian. Chief, where are we going?
We got Buffalo's championship level concession items. We got Aston Genty adding another line to his resume, and we begin to prep our bodies for the Natty next in the nation.
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing deals for members. Mix and match 1 pound strawberries or 6 ounce blueberries, raspberries, or blackberries for $2.99 each when you buy three. Take advantage of this exclusive digital deal. USDA Choice Boneless Beef Tri-Tip Roast, Untrimmed Twin Pack, $3.97 per pound, limit one package. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy.
In a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.